Holy Gospel according to Mark, the 16th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. When the Sabbath was over, Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of James and Salome, brought spices so that they might go and anoint Jesus' body. And very, very early on the first day of the week, when the sun had risen, they went to the tomb. They had been saying to one another, "Who will roll away the stone for us from the entrance to the tomb?" When they looked up, they saw that the stone, which was very large, had already been rolled back. As they entered the tomb, they saw a young man dressed in a white robe sitting on the right side, and they were alarmed. But he said to them, "Do not be alarmed. You are looking for Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. He has been raised. He is not here. Look, there is the place they laid him. But go, tell his disciples and Peter that he is going ahead of you to Galilee. There you will see him, just as he told you." So they went out and fled from the tomb, for terror and amazement had seized them. And they said nothing to anyone, for they were afraid. The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Alleluia, Christ is risen. Christ is risen indeed. Alleluia. Jesus has gone ahead of you. He is risen. And they said nothing to anyone, for they were afraid. Ah, wait a second. I thought we came to church for alleluias this morning. What's all this business about these first apostles being afraid and fleeing? You know, as it happens on Easter morning in this year, many, many churches decide against reading this gospel lesson we just heard from Mark, even though it's assigned for the year. Because, as I said yesterday, as people were here, it's a little gritty. It ends with these words, "They said nothing to anyone, or they were afraid." It is hardly the joy we would expect to meet, especially from our gospel, on this beautiful morning. Well, I'm going to take a cue from Mark, from this gospel, and stay with me. We're going to get to those alleluias, but I want to dive even further in that direction, in that fleeing in terror that Mark brings out today. A recent Pew Research study came out on a survey of religion in the United States. It basically summarized that in 1998, when surveyed, about 70% of Americans said that they belong to a religious tradition of some kind. And in 2021, that number now is down to about 40%. That is a drastic change. And one of the millions of people who left institutional religion between 98 and 21 was a close family member of mine. In fact, as it happens in the days leading up to my ordination, right, the service where I took vows and became a pastor, I invited this particular family member to the service, and he looked at his wife when I invited him, and he said, "Well, I guess that means I'm not going to Christmas Eve this year." And I said, "What? What do you mean?" And his wife said, "Well, we've worked out a deal. He goes to two services a year, usually Christmas and Easter. But I guess this year I'll tell the kids it's your ordination and Easter." They always kind of joked about this, but it was not really a joke. There's some fear in the institutional church. What this means for us, what it means for budgets and buildings and our future. But I suspect that for most of us, that fear is more personal. One of the most common things I've heard in every church I've ever worked at, as a pastor or as an intern, is a deep sadness from especially parents whose children grow up in church, and as they've grown up, they've left, never to return. And when I hear that, I don't hear worry for an institution. We'll be fine. No, I hear love for a child. I hear a parent wanting to share the goodness of something they have found, the delight of something with their children, and the loss of that. And if maybe you're one of those people who's ever told me that about a child or a friend who's left the church, you probably know what I'm going to say next, because I've probably shared it with you. Sometime, a little chapter of my life between 1998 and 2021, I also left the church. And I'll tell you, I was not a Christmas and Easter person. No, I was an angry person. I wanted nothing to do with this place. I remember a year when a certain girlfriend of mine innocently invited me to a Monday-Thursday service or something, and I just erupted. I said, no, thank you. I am never stepping foot in that place again. And it was really nice of her, a number of years later, when we were married, that she helped put me through seminary. Now, if talking about the decline of the institution of church isn't a crazy enough way to start an Easter sermon, let's dig a little deeper into Mark's gospel, because it gets even stranger. The angel is sitting there. This glowing man is sitting there telling the women, go spread the news. Jesus has been raised from the dead. And we hear instead they flee the tomb and they say nothing to anyone, for they're afraid. And here's the real kicker. The original Gospel of Mark, the oldest edition, the original version, ends there. 16 chapters of good news, and it ends with the words, they tell no one because they are afraid. The end. That's the last word of this book called The Good News of Mark. Afraid. What? That is not good news. The tomb's empty, they're told to tell the good news, but instead, they don't. The end. Kind of like my sermon this morning. Not an alleluia in sight so far. I think when I left the church, I'm going to be honest, it was in part, maybe not entirely, but in part because I don't think I'd ever heard that story. I think mostly on Easter or other days, I only heard the good parts. And there came a point where I, like I think many others, felt like I outgrew that kind of happily ever after version. The story where everyone's amazed at the miracle, they go off, they live their happy lives, and they tell everybody. I outgrew that one somewhere. Because to be honest, that version, though it's not incorrect or it's not wrong, it just doesn't always square with my experience of the world around me. April 4th, 2021, today is the 53rd anniversary of the assassination of Dr. King in Memphis. That day ended in fear and terror, just like the day for the first apostles, the women at the tomb. That day reverberates still among Black and brown neighbors of ours in fear and terror today. Now that happily ever after version of the gospel doesn't square with the reality, not today, not on the day when many of us are still reeling from a string of mass shootings around the country in the last 3 weeks. Not on a day when 550,000 U.S. families are still mourning the loss of loved ones due to this COVID-19. This is not a happily ever after gospel. And thanks be to God for that. Mark tells a grittier story because we live in a grittier world. A world that is deeply in need of grace. If anything, that's the world we look at today. And so we get Paul's story that Lyle read just a moment ago. Paul tells the resurrection story just a little bit differently. And Paul, more than anyone else, gets this gritty world in need of grace, right? Paul, who has committed atrocities in his life, far worse than fleeing from an angel. And when Paul tells the story of Jesus' resurrection, he tells it this way. He says, by the grace of God, I am who I am. But God's grace is not wasted on me. By the grace of God, I am who I am. God's grace is not wasted on me. This ending of Mark's gospel became one of my favorite pieces of scripture when I came back to the church. I love it because it's good news for people who flee. It's good news for people who look around at a gritty world and feel angry. It is good news on April 4th, 2021. God's grace does not hinge on us getting it right. God's grace does not hinge on us. The angel tells the women, Jesus has gone out ahead of you. In other words, whether you like it or not, whether you flee or stay put or tell everyone or no one, whether you tell the world or tell an aunt or no one at all, God's grace has gone out in front of you. Grace has broken free of death's grip, and it goes into the world ahead of us in the future, ahead of us into the unknown, and grace is not wasted on us. I promised an alleluia this morning, and this is where we finally find it, out in front of us in Jesus. So those adult children of yours who don't come to church, grace goes ahead of them, and grace is not wasted on those beloved children of God. Alleluia. In a world that reels from shootings and assassinations, grace goes in front of us, and grace is not wasted on us, beloved children of God. The tomb is empty. Jesus goes before us. Grace goes before us. Thanks be to God. Alleluia. Christ is risen. Christ is risen indeed. Alleluia. Amen.